Thanks for tuning in to the Read Together podcast this week. We enjoy offering a new perspective to our readers, and we're working to make sure you hear from many different perspectives. Our prayer is that hearing a word on the word that's not your usual word is enriching your Bible reading. Let us hear from you. In this week's reading, we are reminded that Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Rebecca Morris of the United Methodist Children's Home shares her thoughts on bringing children to Jesus, and not just our own children, but all the children in our lives.
Our first reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Our second reading is from the 19th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 13. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there.
I really loved Matthew 18, of how it started with the question of who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then it goes on to tell you to humble yourself as a little child. And then what I loved is that in Matthew 9, when it's the last verse, it again asks, "Who is the greatest?" "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." And just reflecting on all that, and that it starts and then bookends the scripture with that, really helped me process about how to approach the throne, how to approach God, and that is like a child. In Matthew 18, it also goes on to talk about that God is sovereign and that he doesn't want anyone to astray. And also it talks about the lost sheep, that God is committed to each person. He is concerned for the one that goes astray. And when it talks about forgiveness, forgiveness is hard. And I say that for me personally. I find it easier to forgive others than for me asking for forgiveness. Which again takes me back to the beginning of Matthew 18, which instructs us to be humble. My humbleness or lack of humbleness is what gets in my way of asking for forgiveness. But as a Christian, there is a clear procedure with sin, which is repentance. And in Matthew 18, it winds down, we are told where there are two or three gathered in his name, that I am in the midst. And again, with this read together, it's such a great testament of where two or three or hundreds are gathered together, that God is present. Going on to Matthew 19, starts with hardness of heart, marriage and divorce. And then again, one of my favorite Bible verses that I will come back to reference very soon is Matthew 19, 13 through 15. And the translation I like is, "Some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples scolded the people. Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' He placed his hands on them and then went away." the other part of Matthew 19, which is also very familiar, speaks that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then it ends with saying that through God, all things are possible. Going on to Matthew 20 through 27, there's many parables, many miracles from the workers in the vineyard, from the blind men receiving sight, the withered fig tree, parables of the two sons, the parable of the wedding feast, and of course the first and the great commandment, which is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Also in moving on to 23, the legalism versus good works, and just how so many times I find, did I do enough? Have I done enough? And that will also take me back to Matthew 19 in just a little bit. And weighing legalism and good works with matters of justice, mercy, and faith. Also, we have the parable of the talents. In chapter 25, it says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Then going on to 26, 27, 28, of course, we find Judas when he betrays Jesus, and then Jesus celebrates Passover, Jesus dies on the cross, and then he's risen again, and we end with the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. And it seems like with the scriptures for the week that I should be focusing on the cross, because everything points to the cross and that he is risen. Then we start with Mark 1, where John baptizes Jesus, and going on that Jesus said he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And again, that goes back to Matthew, where it's very clear that we as sinners, we have a clear path to repentance and just going to the cross and asking for that forgiveness. There's more parables with the parable of the sower, the parable of the mustard seed, and then there's also more miracles in 5 and 6. And then again, who is the greatest? This is in chapter 9 of Mark. Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Now I'm going to go back to Matthew 19, 13 through 15, and just speak on that for a little bit. Those are two verses I have spent a great deal of time studying. When I first started reading that verse, I was reading it with the word, then people brought their little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But actually in scripture, it never says who the little children belong to. It does not have their in it. It just says, then people brought children to Jesus. Or in some other translations, the little children were brought to him. In another translation, some people brought children to Jesus. So my question to you is, who are the people that brought the children to Jesus? And there's not a clear answer of who that is. And that's what I really want to share, is that working for the United Methodist Children's Home, I feel like people that support this ministry, that they are the people allowing us to take kids to Jesus. And as I started, I told you that when I read scripture that's familiar, sometimes I do daydream and think about other things. And if I had read the scripture the way I first did with the word there, some people brought their children to Jesus, I can sleep pretty well at night, because I do a lot with my kids to try to encourage them spiritually in their relationship with Jesus. I know I can always do more, such as more devotions, more praying, going to Bible studies. There's usually many opportunities for you to take your children to Jesus, but this does not mean that my children will walk with Jesus. It doesn't guarantee that my children will become professing Christians. But the foundation I have given my kids of knowing that they are a child of God is something I hope they will fully grasp and eventually pass along to their families. But until then, I do have to trust in God, and this is one of the most difficult parts of parenting for me. But then I go back to, what about the children who don't have a supportive family, who don't have parents, who don't attend church on a regular basis? Who takes these children to Jesus? Before I close, I do want to share about Charles. Charles is one of our young men who we have been able to take to Jesus through the support of people with the United Methodist Children's Home. Charles was 14 when he came into our care last year, and he arrived with a white trash bag that contained all of his belongings. He had a difficult time making eye contact with anyone or really carrying on a conversation. And he really couldn't remember the last time he'd been in school, but he thought he had made it as far as the third grade. So he's probably about 5 years behind. His life had been filled with just heartache. And then fast forward to a year, and the changes in Charles's life have been dramatic. For the first time in a long time, he has a clean bed, regular meals, snacks, structure, and routine. And part of that routine is going to church and reading the Bible. And testing showed that Charles had an IQ, and the local school system worked with UMCH and our staff to provide a semester of intensive one-on-one instruction. He caught up so quickly that he was able to return to a regular classroom, and he had the highest grade point average of any of his UMCH's peers at the end of the year. And the best part, he's also thriving socially and emotionally. Charles joined the football team, and he finally knows what it feels like to be part of a team. He participates in community activities. He's gone on mission trips with the children's home, and he's also been able to help other kids be taken to Jesus through his mission trip opportunities. So as I close, I just want to remind you of the verse that I really was focusing on, and that is Matthew 19:13-15, which again is, some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples scolded the people. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He placed his hands on them and then went away. And as I close, I just want to speak about Charles and just share that because of people that are investing in ministries, investing in their community, investing in their neighborhoods, and really looking for opportunities to take children to Jesus, that we have been able to take Charles to Jesus. Again, he's going to have to make the decision if he's going to be a follower and a believer. But from the other point of view, it's incredible to be part of Charles's life and to see him lead others to Jesus through mission trips, through community service. So think this week of how you can be the people taking children to Jesus. God bless.
Oh God, we are so thankful that you hear us when we pray. We humbly ask for your forgiveness for not listening nor hearing your response. We are especially thankful that you came to be among us as Jesus. We love the stories of how Jesus took time to listen to everyone and anyone. Thank you for the simple instructions of Jesus to love and serve all of your children. Forgive us for our own selfish agendas. Give us ears to hear and hearts to love, as you have clearly told us through the words, life, and death of Jesus that we once again read about this week. It is in that same Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.